Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Blog Talk Radio here live with Coaching with Carrie. And we are in the midst of an awesome coaching series that is in regards to the New York Times bestseller, Shift, How Top Real Estate Agents Tackle Tough Times. And in our industry right now with always seasonal shifts every single year, year after year, as well as a likely economic or market shift happening here in the next couple of years. It's so important for real estate professionals across the country and across the world to make sure that their business is shift-proof, right? That they are able to make sure that when market shifts happen, they can too. And as we've said before, sometimes you'll shift in response to a falling market. Sometimes you'll shift to take your business to the next level in a great market. And sometimes you just have to normally shift year after year to make sure you have consistent business as the seasons change. Either way, you can transform your business and your life during those shifts, and you can change your thinking, your focus, your actions, and ultimately your results to get back in the game and ahead of the competition. The thing is, you just have to know what those tactics are. You need to put them in place, and you should do it right away because it's going to make your business stronger when the market isn't shifting and when the market's great, and it's going to make sure that you not only survive, but you thrive when the market does shift or falls or changes because of some economic or market situations. So today, we're talking about tactic number three, which is to do more with less, and this is really all about leverage. And Viktor Frankl said it best when he said, we are no longer able to change a situation. We are challenged to change ourselves. Because the reality is, we're not going to be able to change the situation or a changing market or a shifting market, right? However, we are going to, at that point, have to look inside ourselves and figure out how to change our business and ourselves. So that's what we're going to talk about today as it pertains to leverage. So when the market turns, it is truly time to, of course, roll up your sleeves and for everyone around you in your organization or on your team to do the same. And it's time to work both smarter and harder because that's what you have to do when a market shifts. And it's time to reevaluate which resources and services must stay and which ones, unfortunately, must go. It's time to consider effectiveness and efficiency as tools of necessity. And it's time to see what bang you really get for the bucks that you got. So we've talked about cutting expenses and finding your margin, and that's important. However, you know, you have to get the job done with less money as well, and this will create a dynamic tension inside your business. So change and the speed of change always put pressure on you to do things better and at the same time more cost-effectively. And even worse, a swift change can unexpectedly find you doing less and doing it less efficiently. So it's in that moment that you suddenly grasp the true challenge of a shift to do more with less. And so when the market shifts, your organization has to shift too, like we've talked before, right? A market shift can be an opportunity to evaluate, to upgrade, to top grade your business. And truly, it can be an unsolicited gift of the shift as this opportunity arises. And instead of hiring just to get the work out, it may at that time be the reality that you need to reassess and top grade your people too. And instead of just managing the flow, you know, it might be time to retool and upgrade your systems at the same time. So, of course, you need to skip any fault finding, any finger pointing, or any blaming, and you need to go straight to a new vision for your business is what you truly have to do. So you have to get back to the basics, and you've heard this many times before. Truly, anybody who runs a business needs to always remember the fundamentals, and at many different times in their business, they do need to go back to the basics. You don't let change throw you for a loop. Instead, once you know what you must accomplish and you know what your margin can be, then you must just really re-envision and then promote a positive future for you and your business. There's an old saying in sports that if you want to stay ahead, then you need to play like you're behind. The challenges that you might have to deal with is that you've been playing like you've been ahead all of this time, and so now you're behind, so what do you do? Well, you do what all great business people do, and you focus tightly on the basics. You do that by asking yourself four straightforward questions. What are my business priorities? When do they need to get done? Who is the best person to do them? And finally, how should they be done? So we know the answer to the first question because it's the fundamental six priorities for your business, right? The six core competencies of a business is number one, to lead, generate, capture, and convert to appointments. Number two, to present to buyers and sellers and get agreements. Number three, to show buyers and market sellers. Number four, to write and negotiate contracts. Five, to coordinate the sale to closing. And six, to manage the money. Those are the six core competencies of a business. So that's the answer to question number one, what are my business priorities? We know that to achieve your highest potential, these six core competencies must be done consistently and they need to be done very well. So we also know the answer to the second question because these priorities show up for your business in the precise order and there is no skipping around in them. So your business success starts with generating leads and progresses from there. The real mission is to get all of these things done in order at the highest level possible with the least amount of resources. And the management of these resources is what the last two questions are truly about. If you know what needs to be done, and when it must be done, then you're left with who and how, people and systems. So let's talk about people. People begins with you, whether you like it or not. So before you look at others in your organization or in your business or on your team, you need to take an honest look at yourself. Are you maximizing your own productivity? And are you doing what matters most? Are you doing what you get paid to do? And as we said in the first tactic, get real, get right, the role you play in your business is critical now more than ever. So once you are clear about how your personal efforts are getting more of the important things done cost effectively, then the focus can shift to others in your business. And there are two types of people in your business, those that directly are employed by you and those who are indirectly employed by you. Those directly employed by you are the ones to whom you write checks. Those indirectly employed are the vendors who support you. And both groups need to be effective because both are equally important to your overall success. So let's take a look at those you directly employ. Good times can obscure and even camouflage who isn't really working out or even actually working at all. Up markets can hide lesser talent because we predictably focus on our sales success in the moment and generally don't give the market enough credit for its role in our success. So face it, when it comes to people, up markets conceal and tough markets reveal. And so the challenge in a shift is that in order to do more with less, you must make sure that the less can do more. Think about it for a moment, and you'll discover that you're facing the topic of talent. When you look at your organization through the filter of a shifting market, you realize that no matter the circumstances, you only ever have one critical issue with people. You either have the right ones or you have the wrong ones. And it's always about quality and never about quantity. You can never have too many of the right ones, but you can certainly have too many of the wrong ones. And no matter the market, too many rights never make up for even one wrong. And in the business, talent is someone who is a great match for the job you need them to do, who is motivated to do it and can do it really well. And in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which we have had a coaching session on here in the past, which you can actually look back into here on my Blog Talk Radio Coaching with Carrie Page and find all the recorded sessions of that particular coaching series as well, if you'd like. But in that book, we identified these individuals as cul-de-sac talent, right? They all have all the skills and motivation necessary to do the job you hire them for, and they can perform at a very high level. However, these individuals may still be cul-de-sac talent in that they don't have the skills or motivation to grow beyond their current position. And capacity talent, on the other hand, can do their job, but they can do much, much more. They will push you for a larger role and more responsibility, and capacity talent is your greatest asset in a shift. They want to do more, and they can do more, and they require less of your time, and they will accomplish more in less time. They may cost more, but will always make you more money than they cost. And capacity talent, real talent, well, they will see the shift as their opportunity to shine and they will stand out in your organization. So always keep in mind that you can't do more with lesser talent, but with real talent, you can always do more with less. And so, you know, before you visit with your people, do the math, make sure you know what your needs are, what needs to be accomplished, and how much money you have to pay for it. You know, basically, you're caught in between what you can afford and who you can't afford to lose is really what it boils down to. This is one of the most challenging leadership positions you will ever encounter. And as you work through this, think assistance first and assistance second. Think part-timers, subcontractors, vendors, affiliates, or students. Review your needs and all your options for meeting them. And remember, you have a lot. You can combine positions. You can cut hours or move to results-focused, bonus-based compensation. And any or all of these might need to be considered as you figure out how to keep talent with you while keeping costs as low as possible. So when you're done thinking this through, take stock and see where you are. For those already in your business, you need to find out who wants to work and who can, and your approach will be as simple as following a 7-step process which is in the book. By the way, if you don't have a copy of the book Shift and you'd like one, all you need to do is find me on social media. My handle on Twitter, of course, is Carrie HKW, or you can find me on Coaching with Carrie on Facebook. You can email me at carrieh@kw.com, whatever works best for you. But if you'd like a copy of your book because you're listening into my coaching series, I'd be happy to get you one for free, but you just need to reach out to me. Otherwise, you, of course, can find this anywhere online or in bookstores. And on page 42 of Shift, we talk about the 7 steps to talent shift. So you sit down with your people first and you share your vision for the business. You tell them the truth about the situation and the market shift and where the business is today and where you truly see it going. Number 2, you have to visit with each person to see if they're with you. Are they willing to do whatever it takes? Are they on your side through the good and bad of the shift, right? You need to then realign job descriptions around those 6 core competencies that we just talked about that have to get done. You might even consider moving from job descriptions to more like task descriptions at that point. And this way, basically your key tasks can be mixed and matched, cross-trained and swapped without basically changing titles or compensation. You need to seek flexibility, and you cannot be rigid when a market shifts. Number 4, you need to set easy-to-measure goals and standards, and of course, activities daily for each person. So be positive, clearly communicate what needs to happen, and then expect results or resignations, because you'll accept either when a market shifts, because that is what you need to do when you run a business. And then number 5, you have to establish a simple training schedule to make sure everyone knows what to do, how to do it, and what is expected of them. Training not only builds competence, but it also builds confidence and positive expectations in your organization. And then you need to meet weekly with each individual to evaluate their success and reach agreement on any corrective action. Don't make the mistake of believing that once changes are made, everyone's on board. You must inspect what you expect. Touch base regularly, check in, and see how they're truly doing. And lastly, you need to celebrate the small victories as well as the big ones. Celebrate the individual wins as well as the team successes, and you need to do that regularly, especially when a market's shifting, because there's going to be a little more stress there. Things are happening. People don't like change, so that's going to be very, very important. You just have to keep it simple. You need to try to flatten your organization as much as possible. Less bureaucracy usually means more productivity, so create an environment of open communication, and everybody has the freedom to, you know, to input their own feedback. Remember that rulemaking isn't nearly as productive as working from goals, action plans, and standards. So be aware that top-down imposed change can create frustration and fear and anxiety and unrest and sometimes even resistance, as I talked about it before. So just talk to your people and share what you're going through and ask them what they're going through and do your best to eliminate uncertainty. And then you will eliminate a lot of insecurity at the same time. Too much change too quickly can be difficult. So remember that people most likely will need new information to help them understand, and they need to buy into it. So you need to help them to be able to do that. And above all, they'll need new and constant re-education. So people will rarely make the leap in a shift on their own. They need to be led through the change. If you do these things, the right people will see the strength of your commitment, and they absolutely will rally behind you. For those that don't get it, because that will happen, well, they will have made it clear that they can't play on your team, and nothing will help the wrong people at this point but a new job somewhere else, and that is just the reality of it. One agent shared a really telling story, and she printed the letters DECK on 4 sheets of paper and placed them on the conference table in her office saying, "It's time for all hands on deck," but not everyone on her team put their hands on the table. Surprised and disappointed, she had basically had to go back to her office and reevaluate her team on the spot. If you must fire people, you should always follow a process. So once you've made the decision to part company with someone, move quickly but be very respectful. You've invited them into your business with positive anticipation for their future, and you've got to invite them out with that same attitude. There's no place for good guys or bad guys. The time is past for the blame game, and it didn't work out. No one is happy about it, and it's time to move on. The key is to frame out a win-win that works for everyone. Once the employee is gone, there is no place for any further discussion about the circumstances. Just remember that loose lips sink ships, right? And everyone associated with you will be paying attention. So the respect you show those who are no longer with you builds respect with those who are. So here's the reality. When you need to hire new people, you always follow a simple 4-step process, right? Number 1, you need to check references. Number 2, you need to get a behavioral profile. Number 3, you need to conduct an in-depth interview. And number 4, you should test for knowledge and skills. So when you check references, you've got to go deep. Ideally, you'll want to talk to people beyond the references that your candidates provided you, who are usually their kind of unabashed advocates, right? So There's a way to do that. Ask those people who are other people that might know this person that you could reach out to try to get further referrals that might not be coming from that candidate to get a good feeling of what they're really like. References are critical. Get a behavioral profile. You know, many times the DISC, the DISC, is a great behavioral profile, and you can get it for free online. And there's some companies that will offer you unlimited monthly DISC assessments, for example, at a very low rate if you're running a large organization and hiring quite a few people. But basically, a behavioral profile is going to help you determine whether or not their natural behavior matches the job description. It's very, very important. And then conduct an in-depth interview in order to determine their strengths and their weaknesses. And if possible, depending upon what you're hiring them for, like I said, you'd want to give them some kind of specific testing to prove their knowledge and their skills. That's not always possible, but if it is, you should do it. The goal is always to hire talent on your team. It doesn't matter what the market's like, right? The hiring process is usually cheated on in good times, though, because we, again, can hire probably almost anybody, and they can success to a certain degree in a good market. And so we're busy, and we rush through it, and we just hire anybody, and they do okay, and that is a very, very common hiring process when a business owner is in good times. And like I said, it's easy to understand why, because your business is growing and that's what you're focusing on, so you need help fast and you just tend to take the first person who comes along. You need help, you need it now, and this is the mud approach to hiring. Sling some people at a job and see who sticks. And circumstances have changed because the market changes, and you need talent now, and the more talented team members you have, the fewer you'll eventually need. So the same standard of having the right people applies to your vendors. Getting more and better support from your vendor team is truly critical. In fact, think preferred partner versus vendor. It'll make your thinking a little bit more clear about it. You need a phenomenal outside support team to work together with your inside support team to truly become one seamless, high-performing unit, right? So make sure you have a loan officer who understands creative financing and is up to date on all the available lending programs, a title officer or title closer who understands the closing process issues that arise during shifting times. You know, inspectors who get the fickleness of buyers when operating in a perceived buyer's market, appraisers who know the transactions that can hinge more than now than ever on a tight, proper appraisal and are willing to listen to a valuation challenge and respect your market research. I know that's not always possible, but if you can partner with these people, truly your business is going to be in a better place because of it. And you have to hold your preferred partners to the same high level of standards that you have for your team. Meet with them regularly, set goals, and review results with them. When you treat your outside support team with the same excellence you insist upon from your inside support team, you will truly be amazed at the positive difference it makes for your business. With both your inside team and your outside team pulling together in the direction you've set for them, you have the best chance of success. So now let's move to systems, because that's part of leverage as well, right? You top grade people and you upgrade systems. Now that you know what you need to do, when you need to do it, and who you have doing it, it's time to tackle your systems and how things are going to truly get done. Good times, again, usually plant seeds of system inefficiencies that during tough times will truly sprout into choking weeds of ineffectiveness if you're not careful. So we tend to add staff rather than improve systems, and we end up putting pressure on the budget instead of on the processes. The goal now is to quickly reevaluate how things are done to see what works and what doesn't. And again, we want to do more with less, and that means we have to make our approaches to things simpler. To do this, you must think efficient, effective, and make maximum use of everything and everybody. The key is to ask what exactly needs to be accomplished to hit your minimum goals of sales and service quality without any extra effort or expense. So put another way, how can we execute a task with less effort and expense and still maintain high effectiveness? This is the efficiency question that you will face. And usually with systems, the problems you face is the exact same one that everyone faces. You are probably trying to do too many things, and as a result, not doing enough of the right things in the right way, and trying to do too many will truly cost you time and money. So your procedures must lean, they must be lean, and they must also be mean. No more paperwork for paperwork's sake, no more filing for filing's sake, no more detail for detail's sake, and remember, complexity kills. You need to be simple. Everything must be extremely purposeful. Everything must be streamlined. The goal is to get right what you need to get right with as few steps and as few people doing it as possible. And this means less red tape and fewer distractions. And it means breaking things down to their basics to figure out what it is the least you have to do right now so you can get that most done. So just boil things down to the basics that will get it done. get rid of all else and start from there, and then get down to the basics to what works at a truly simple level. In essence, right, you're right sizing your boat, and you're basically simplifying your business. Laying a more focused and efficient foundation is truly what you're doing, and find out what works and then make the most of what you have. And you're forced to do this, and your business will be better because of it, now and in the future. It's not always fun doing that, but once you get that right, it's going to be huge for you now and forever. Change requires everyone to be on board. It's time for all hands on deck, like I said before. To change really means to adapt. So just think of you and everyone working with you as being a part of an adaptive organization. An adaptive group always expects change, whether forced on them or caused by them. And change causes more change. The point is for you and your people to not view what you do as static, so that change appears to be this really big deal, right? Everyone fears change, but rather see it as being you already are adaptive, your team is already adaptive, and it's just a critical competitive advantage, an advantage that you should always actually be seeking. Change is good. It's good for the advantage that it truly can give you. So create that culture in your organization or on your team, and of course, you need to buy into that first and foremost. To grow, you have to let go. Let go of preconceptions of people and systems and what you think you should do and they should do. Start with what you have and build from there. Build core competencies around what really matters and associate people who are on the same page with you. Now more than ever, your personal actions, your people, and your systems must be focused on the 20% that matters. There is just no time or money in doing the 80%. You just have to let it go. So again, that boils down to mindset and realizing that it is okay to let those other things go. Focus on your 20%, be the leader, and then require the rest of your systems and your people to do the same. And like I said, not only are you going to thrive in a changing market or a shifting market because you're doing it, you are also going to have huge success in your business as you go into other markets that are great, because you going back to the basics and holding those standards and being in that mindset will only benefit you in any kind of market, whether it's seasonality, whether it's a great market, whether it's a falling market, it doesn't matter. Now, next week on Friday, right back here on Blog Talk Radio, Coaching with Carrie at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to talk about tactic number 4, which is to find the motivated. And, of course, this really goes through lead generation. If your ship doesn't come in, well, then you have to swim out to it. That's what Jonathan Winter says. And we're going to talk about how you get out there and you find the motivated sellers and buyers, because that is going to be key in a shifting market. By the way, if you know how to do that, because of the shifting market, it causes you to learn that skill. How great are you going to be when the market's in a good place? You're going to be outperforming everybody. Again, all of these tactics, you guys, are not only going to help you to survive and thrive in a shifting market, but help you be amazing in markets that are great and to really have that competitive edge throughout all of your career. So I'm super excited to bring you tactic number 4 next Friday back here. Same place, same time. I look forward to it very much. And don't forget to find me on social media. Would love to tweet with you. Tweet me questions. Post questions on social media, Coaching with Carrie, or again, my handle on Twitter is CarrieHKW. Would love to get you a copy of the book if you need it. Would love to have further discussion with you on this particular coaching series shift, because you guys, like I said, we're in a seasonal shift right now. There are shifts throughout your business constantly. It just depends what shift we're talking about. You need to employ these tactics, and I can help you do that not only in one-on-one coaching sessions, but through tweets, through conversations on social media. We can all help one another. And again, don't forget to reach out to me if you'd like a copy of your book, complimentary, of course. Again, it's CarrieH@KW.com. Otherwise, find me on social media. I'd love to connect. Thanks again, you guys. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope that you are going and reevaluating your business and taking these tactics seriously, because I promise you, you will not regret it. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.